Welcome to the XCast Live. I am your host, Tony Black, for a 24-hour live XCast podcast. what the hell am I doing? this is crazy. Firstly, can like everybody who's on here and who's listening hear me? Like, just give me. We've got a chat feed on Mixlr. Just give me a shout if you can hear me. Okay, so just say yes or woo or whatever, because that will make me aware that definitely people can hear me and I'm not losing my mind and talking into the void. But I'm not alone talking into the void though, because for this first hour, okay, thank you. At least one person can hear me. For this first hour, to introduce the XCast Live, talk about what it is and where we're going with it, I'm joined by Sarah Blair. Hello, Sarah.
Hello, good morning.
It is really early morning for you as well. It's like 4 a.m. where you are.
It is. I've been up since 3.
So you're oh my God. You're a
I barely slept trooper. Last night. I was so excited, Tony. This is so cool. So happy to be here.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. It's exciting. It's exciting to do this. This has been in the planning for around, wow, 5-6 months, I think.
Yeah.
So it's amazing we're actually here. So much has happened over the last 5-6 months in my life, in, you know, everybody's life, and we're here. So wow.
Yay.
Wow.
So, well, we didn't do it yet. We're just starting.
Well, yeah, we've started. It's a start.
24 hours and 59 minutes to go.
Please stop telling me this. Please.
Cheers.
Yeah. So, we're going to be talking about the X-Files for a whole day. So from 9 a.m. now, which is BST, British Standard Time, which is where I am in my lounge in my home in Birmingham, UK. And we're talking about the show for two reasons. So reason one is that it's the 25th anniversary this month, because it's now September the 1st. So the X-Files is 25 years old, Sarah.
We're olds. That makes us olds to me.
We're so olds. Yeah, I'm going to be a gentleman and not ask you your age, but I am so olds now.
We're the same age, right? I think.
Are we?
Close to, yeah.
Okay, I'm gonna put mine out there. I'm 36.
Yeah, same.
You're not 30. Really?
I am. Yes.
Okay, I didn't think you were 36, but there you go. But like, I always think people are younger than they are, really, except
Well, I do sound like I'm 12, so.
But like, yeah, we're olds in the sense of we've been around since the early days, and you know, I'm even now starting to think about my 40th birthday.
Like, yeah.
I was actually planning and saying, oh, shall I have a 40th birthday party? And my wife, new wife, just said to me, just like, stop planning your 40th.
you're only 36. We all know how you like to plan ahead, Tony.
I don't know what you mean, Sarah. I've no idea what you mean. And nobody involved in the podcast will know what you mean either. That's crazy. Yes.
My husband turned 39 yesterday. So, oh,
cool. So yeah, he's got more of a reason to plan his 40th birthday.
Yeah.
Definitely. Yeah. Than I do. But yeah, so we're doing that, and we've got the 25th anniversary of the X-Files, and the other reason we're doing it is to raise money for a charity which I feel a strong connection to, called the Alzheimer's Society in the UK, which is the fight against dementia. And it's something that when I was thinking about doing a live broadcast, I wanted to do something for charity and I wanted to try and raise some money. And amazingly, we've raised, as it stands, £1,150. So that's...
Holy buckets.
Yeah. It's amazing. People have really, really, really... like been incredibly generous with everything.
I think it's great that we actually reached our goal before we even started. So everything that we make from now on is icing on the cake.
Yeah.
So cool.
Exactly, exactly. The goal was reached last night, and now, yeah, we've just had we've had some anonymous donors. We've had some donors who I think I may try and read their names out and thank them personally on the podcast at various points. But we've had around nearly 60 donors donating money, and you can still do that. Okay, it's not the end. It's not the end of the road. So
it's only the beginning.
It's just the beginning. It's the beginning. It's the beginning of this marathon slog. It's not slog. That's a bad word, isn't it? That makes it sound like it's difficult. I'm going to be talking about the X-Files for a whole day. This is like the best day ever.
Right?
If I can stay awake.
I thought Hogwarts Day was the greatest day ever, and now we have surpassed that. September 1st will forever be known as the X-Cast Live Day.
The X-Cast Live Day, yeah. I think we should enshrine it in the whole thing. If you're on social media, guys, incidentally, we're using the hashtag the X-Cast Live, simple as. So please tweet, please Facebook, please Instagram, whatever your social media is of choice. Get the word out there, drag more people in, tell them we're broadcasting all day so they can jump on at any point and try and keep up with what we're talking about. And I will go through the schedule and talk about what we're doing and who's going to be on in a little while. But yeah, we've got lots of exciting things to come. But if you want to donate to this charity cause, you can donate at www.justgiving.com/fundraising/the X-Cast Live. It is all over our social media pages if you want to go on there and find the direct link, and it's very easy to donate through that site. So it's just www.justgiving.com/fundraising/the X-Cast Live. I will repeat that at various points throughout the day, but don't think you can stop donating now. You can absolutely keep going. We're now 113% of our target, so let's keep getting money raised for the fight against what is a really awful disease and something I hope that can be cured. I don't know if you've got any sort of personal experiences with this disease, Sarah, or anything, dementia or anything like that, your family or anything like that.
Not family, but I have a couple of friends who have had experience with it, with either parents or grandparents, and it's pretty awful. So I hope that we can help in any way we can. It's definitely an important thing to get taken care of, because it's a rotten thing to have to go through, for sure.
Yeah, it's really sad. I mean, my experience with it is I haven't had a direct relative die of the disease, but I had my as some people who know the X-Cast, I've just got married this month, and my mother-in-law's partner, his father, died. Not his father, his mother. Sorry, his mother is still alive, but she's suffering from Alzheimer's, and she's in a care home and things like that. And he tells me stories of how she's here, but she's not here anymore. If you know what I mean, she's kind of gone, really. And he goes to see her, and she doesn't really recognize who he is, and things like this. And even though she still can walk about and things like that, there have been points where she's been not being able to even eat and feed herself, and mm-hmm. has not been able to take any food, you know, and they've had to intravenously give her food and things like that. And it's just, you know, she's in her 80s and stuff like that. And it's just an awful end to a life, a really full life. You know, these were farmers. These were people who lived on a farm for 50 odd years in the countryside, you know, very able, strong people. And yeah, she's now just it's awful to say this, but she's waiting to die. And it's just incredibly sad way to go. And if anyone wants more information about this or wants to know more about this, obviously there's the Alzheimer's Society, you can Google them. But there's a film, I don't know if you've seen, Sarah, called Being Alice, that stars Julianne Moore. It came out a few years ago. Are you familiar with this film?
I haven't seen it specifically because it looked too awful from that's not something I would needed to put inside my head, I guess, because it just looked too real and too much for me to handle. But
no, you know, I get that. I really do get that. And I think it was something I ended up watching, and it completely took the floor away from under me. I mean, it was just really, really powerful movie. In which it's the essential story is this: she's Julianne Moore's this college professor, I think, and she's, you know, really intelligent and lives a full life, got a family and everything like that. And she gets Alzheimer's around 50, which is, you know, quite young, and within a few years she dies of it. And the process you see of what happens to her is devastating, you know, to the point where she can't actually, she doesn't know where to go to the toilet, you know.
Yeah.
And so she goes to the toilet in the corner of, like, a house in a living room because she doesn't know where the toilet is. Excuse me. And she gets really scared, and she just, they come home and there's wee everywhere, and she doesn't know what she's done. And so from going from a woman at the start of the movie, you see this college professor, and she's doing these lectures, and she's had a full career, to a woman who doesn't know where the toilet is. It's just devastating. And it's such a sad movie, and it really, really tore me up. And a combination of that and the experience that my family member is having, and he's incredibly strong man in terms of how he deals with it. You know, he goes to see his mother, who lives just up the road. I mean, I'd fall to pieces if it happened to my mum, but he's so good and strong, and he's positive where he can be. You know, it's incredible. But it's something, hopefully, that they will find a cure. You know, they're hopeful that one day they'll be able to find a cure for this, and people, as they get into their dotage or even younger, you know, won't have to go through what is an awful, awful way to end your life. So,
right,
every little helps, I think.
Absolutely.
I've started on a really morbid down job, but I wanted to explain the reasons, Sarah.
Important. It's important to know this stuff. But this is why we're here, to help in whatever way we can. To me, honestly, it feels very small, but I know that it's any drop in the bucket can make a difference. Yeah. You never know when that drop is going to be the one that changes things.
Yeah.
So.
No, exactly, yeah. And it's just one of those things. You know, on our Mixlr chat, because obviously when you're listening to this, you're on the Mixlr webpage, or you're on the app, or however you're listening. But we've got a chat thread, and right now there are lots of people sharing their experiences, or you know, the website, which is www.alzheimers.org.uk, which you can go to for more information. So thanks, guys, keep sharing your thoughts all day, you know, about obviously not just this, what we're talking about, but as we go through the topics. Get on the chat thread. All you need to do, I think, is log in, get a free account. I don't think it's too complicated to do. You can log in through Facebook if that's what you choose, or Twitter, I think, and come and join us, you know, for conversations on there, because that's a great little additional. You know, we'll try and tap into that as we're talking, and try and pick off that. So, you know, also, if we have guests on, or we have people, you know, we're talking about, just throw us questions out there. You know, we'll take questions on the chat thread. So, you know, don't just use that for conversation as well. You know, ask us stuff. You know, we might be able to answer on air. So, if we see it. So, yeah, that'd be great. Keep using that, guys. It's called Still Alice. I think I said Being Alice. I keep getting that wrong. Brooke has just corrected me. Yeah, it's Still Alice. Thanks, Brooker, on the chat thread. So, yeah.
Well done, Brooker.
Well done, Brooker. He's on Wikipedia. So, yeah, that's the reason I'm doing this. There's lots of other causes that I could have gone for, but this one is, you know, is an important one. So, yeah, please donate, guys. Please go to the Just Giving page, and if you haven't already, please do so. If you have already, thank you so much, and I will thank you, as I said, again. But that's the reason. So, the spark of doing it, of course, is the 25th anniversary of The X-Files. 1993, September the... I think it's the 10th. I think the pilot airs.
Yeah.
September the 10th. And so on September the 10th, 1993, Sarah, where were you? What were you doing? And how old were you?
I was in the fifth grade. I was in the sixth grade. Mm. Yeah.
What's that in equivalent to English? To English, because we have years. I think it's years 3 or 4 to 6, which is roughly around 10 or 11, and then we have 7 to 11, which is, say, 11 years old to 16.
Yeah, that's about the same.
Right.
So we have, that would be first year of middle school. So we have kindergarten through fifth grade, which is like 5 through 10. Years old, and then We've got 6th through 8th, which is middle school. So it'd be like 11, 12, 13. Then we've got high school, which is freshman through senior. So,
okay.
You know, 9th through 12th grade. Yeah.
Cool. Okay. So you
so we end school. Y'all end school like 16, 17, right? We usually end 17, 18.
Yeah. We end around, we do now, because technically we have what they call the GCSEs, which is 16 years old, and then kids have to go to college or some level of education until they're 18. So yeah, roughly around the same.
Okay.
I was year 7, so I think we were roughly the same.
Yeah.
The same, yeah, point.
11. I was 11.
So did you, I mean, I was slightly too young. But were you watching it from, and you would have told me this before, but for the purposes of this, then?
I didn't watch it the first year. I think I became aware of it probably 7th grade. I remember kids in my grade started talking about it, and I kept hearing the show. They're like, have you seen the X-Files? It's so scary. And I was like, I don't want to watch anything scary. That doesn't sound very good. And then one of my best friends called me one night. She said, Sarah, my mom's out and I'm home alone. We were like 13, so, you know, it was fine then. Or not 13, but, well, yeah, 7th grade, so like 12, 13. So we were old enough to be alone for a couple hours. But, you know, she's like, my mom's out at a meeting or something. I'm home alone. I was watching the X-Files and I'm so scared to turn it on and watch it with me. So this is back before cell phone, before texting, anything. So she called me on the landline. But you remember those where the phone was actually connected to a cord? And that was a thing that happened.
We had I don't know if you had these in the States, but we had phones where you put your finger into like a dial-up hole and you have to ring your finger around. Yeah.
And if you screwed up dialing, you had to start all over again.
Yeah, they were just so, like, why did anyone do that? Why not? Why did nobody just have the keypad like we have now? It's like, it's so crazy, but there you go.
Yeah. So, she called me. She's like, oh, it's so scary. I can't watch this by myself. Watch it with me. And it was a thunderstorm outside, too. So that added to the atmosphere.
Wow. Okay.
It was a dark and stormy night. The first night I saw the X-Files.
Yeah, it was a dark and stormy evening.
But I turned it on and it was the Calisari, which...
The one that haunts you.
Yeah.
It knows you, Sarah.
The cursed episode.
It knows you.
The name.
Yeah, the cursed episode, in more than one way.
The whole thing now, I'm sorry. This is all going downhill from here. we watched the cursed episode. I was like, this show is terrifying. I mean, like, can you imagine that the ending with Scully getting thrown around the room and all that at 12 years old was terrifying. Like, what is this show? So I didn't watch it again for a while. I might just see this. And then my cousin, he kept telling me, he's like, you've got to watch this show. It's not all scary all the time. It's a good show. You got to watch it. Mm-hmm. Finally, I was up at his house on a Friday night. We were hanging out and he's like, the X-Files is coming on. And there was this cliffhanger last week and I got to know what happens. We got to watch it. So we put it on and it was 7:31.
Oh, and good one, yeah.
Yeah. And that was the one that got me hooked. For obvious reasons, because I mean, that was an episode of television. Like, I'd never seen anything like that before. I'd never seen anything like the other episode before either, but it was not a good impression. But this one was like suspenseful, and I was like, who are these people? What's going on? Why are you know, that guy's hot. What is he doing? Is he an FBI agent? This, you know, it was very engaging and, you know, explosions and all of that. So that one definitely is the one that got me hooked, and I didn't miss an episode after that. I had to know more about it.
Yeah, it's like watching a blockbuster movie, isn't it? It's like watching a blockbuster movie and then getting thinking like, oh, like the third in a series, and then thinking, mm-hmm. ooh, I need to watch the rest. Like this is cool, and then then you go back and yeah. find the others. So yeah. it's one of those kind of things, really. I think.
Yeah.
7:31. I think mine is, and I think I've probably told this way back in the primer episode. So we're going back some distance. yeah, a good few years. But mine was watching One Breath, which is one of the reasons I love One Breath so much, and not really knowing what I was watching in a way, because it was all kind of new. And weirdly, the scene I remember, the first scene, genuinely, of the X-Files I remember, is Frohickey going into the hospital with the flowers for Scully, and Mulder's like, Frohickey? Like that. And at this stage, I think I knew the basic premise, but I remember having no idea who this weird little guy with glasses was. and what he had to do with it, because it's the first episode I'd ever seen. And I was like, what, who's this guy? Like, they all know who he is. And so I had no concept of the Logan at this point. So like, I spent
Wasn't
the first
he wearing a bow tie?
He's wearing a bow tie. I was like, what's this little dude with a bow tie just coming into the hospital? What is going on? Why is she in a coma? Like, what's happening? So it was all a bit... It was all a bit confusing. And then, I think that's probably one of the reasons I love One Breath so much. Not just that reason. Yeah. I mean, it's one of the best episodes of The X-Files. But that's the memory that really sticks in my head. So it was season two I discovered first. Then I remember going back and watching season one. And I like many people, as we've talked about on the X-Cast, I was collecting the videos, the VHSs we had in the UK, which were things like the Unopened File, which was the three.
Yeah.
Anasazi trilogy and things like that. So we had it slightly different in the UK and how it all came out, because we were way behind. You know, we were a good few years or a good few months behind the US. So yeah, that's where it all stems from, really. I think these formative memories really stay with you, don't they? You know, when you especially when you're a child. I mean, I think there's a lot of talk right now about fandoms, and you know, we've talked about fandoms on the X-Cast before, but there's a lot of talk about how fandoms are a little bit out of control lately in terms of how they're treating the creators. You know, Twitter and all of these mediums have given fans, you know, the ability to talk to the people who created this stuff, and a lot of them don't use it respectfully. You know, yeah. they assume that they can go wade in there and tell Rian Johnson that The Last Jedi is terrible and you should have done it this way and Luke should have been awesome and been able to fly with kick-ass, like, lightsaber powers. It's like, well, A, shut up. B, right? you don't remember these people have, you know, got their own vision and things like that. But anyway, my point is, I think fandoms have very much evolved and changed to the point now that when you look back at all this stuff, I think one of the reasons people are so invested in these properties is because you were a child. You know, you watched them when you were 10, when you were 11, when you were 12. And there are loads of people who've come in and watched The X-Files as adults. And it doesn't mean quite the same. They really like it. They really appreciate it. But they don't love it like we do, a lot of them.
Yeah.
And I think that's something you can't replace, isn't it?
No. And I think it's interesting that you mentioned the online fandom, because I don't think that the X-Files would have been what it became without the internet. I think because I remember it, like, the X-Files evolved along with AOL, because I got on AOL right around the same-ish time. It was a thing. So I remember going on AOL, getting in the X-Files. I was like, there's X-Files chat rooms? What? What is this? And, you know, going in, you have like your Romo and your no Romo and spoiler, no spoiler rooms. And each little chat room was perfect. You could find the one that was perfectly tailored to what you wanted. And you could find your little tribe of people within this chat room. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you could grow it. And I know a lot of people who went on, you know, other sites, but that AOL was the one that I used the most. And you know, my AOL screen name was Big Blue 82, because obviously Quagmire has always, yeah. But,
of course it was. Either that or I Love Skinner or Skinner
but
Forever.
It's great. Skinner is a new thing for me. I've only come to appreciate him fairly like within the last, I don't know, five-ish years or so. But
that's insane.
Before, I know.
You're
like
the
before,
biggest Skinner fan, I think, outside of like Mitch's Pledges. Like, do you know what I mean? I just don't know how that's possible.
I know. Well, I mean, I always liked him. I always liked his character, but I didn't. I was obsessed with Mulder as a teenager. I mean, it was all Mulder all the time. But then later on, when I started delving into like rewatching, I was like, "There's more to Skinner," and I became a writer. So the story of Skinner really intrigued me, and I just always wanted to know more about him. So I think that's why he's my favorite now, because like with Mulder, you've got a pretty substantial story and there's not, you know, it's pretty well written. And with Skinner, there's so much that's not there. I just want to know about it. It's intriguing to me. So.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
totally. There's room for speculation and fan fiction.
I think definitely. And I think the, you know, one of the things that stays with people is these are the reasons and the characters and the specific episodes that make you, you know, so invested in these shows. You know, I think that's absolutely the case. And over the last 25 years, you know, you will have found that all fans have different reasons why they've stayed with the show, why it's meant so much to them. You know what I mean? Over the last quarter century now, wow, quarter century.
Yeah.
That's terrifying.
It is.
And it must be even more terrifying for David and Gillian, you know, in that they've grown up with this whole thing. And you know, most of the people who've been on it, the actors and the creators and, you know, some of the people who are going to be on this broadcast today, you know, who were there making this show. And it's, you know, it's crazy, really, that it's lasted this long and that, you know, people still love it. You know, people have still got their memories. What would you say if you had to pick out a few key moments or episodes or things like that from the X-Files? What kind of things do you love? What kind of things stick in your mind's eye?
That's a really good question. There, it's like you say that, and my mind just floods with so much.
Yeah.
Right? I mean,
so many.
Like there's the show, and then there's all of my memories attached to like where I was when I was watching that episode. And I mean, I remember the first time I saw Quagmire, I'll never forget where I was. I was in, you know, my best friend's basement. Hi, Samara. And we're still friends. You know, it was Friday night sleepover. You know, that's pretty much where I spent every Friday night, was at her house. And I was like, we got to watch X-Files. And she liked the show, but she wasn't obsessed. Nobody was obsessed like I was.
Nobody in Atlanta has the same level of like.
Yeah. So, you know, and I went to a small school and we had 60 kids in our class. So, but everybody knew I was the X-Files girl.
Yeah.
But, you know, I watched the episode and I was like, my world changed.
Yeah.
And I remember when it was over and I was like, I need to process, you know, like I didn't know what was happening to me at the time, but like, I mean, that was amazing. This best episode of X-Files ever. And she's like, it was all right. And I was like, what do you mean it was all right? That was amazing.
The best. Yeah.
Mulder and Scully practically, you know, got it on with that. They were on the rock together and they were wet and sitting next to each other for 5 minutes, having just a conversation with each, like on the X, ever, all the X-Files people know that's basically sex. I mean, like seriously, it was, and who knew that the conversation on the rock was going to go like skyrocket to one of the most legendary scenes of all time. But I mean, you know, I knew in that moment that I'd seen something incredible and I loved it. And it was, and even just, you know, the twist with the alligator at the end, like I didn't see that coming the first time I saw it. It still surprised me sometimes, you know, I'm like, even though I know, I'm like, oh, that's such a good twist. So, you know, it taught me not only about like dialogue and it taught me so much about storytelling. And I think that's why Quagmire really resonates with me the most as my favorite episode, because there's just so many elements of a good story in it. And so, yeah, I'll never forget. I was sitting in her downstairs watching that episode. And, you know, she went on with her life and my life was completely altered forever.
This is it. It is one of those things where once you embrace a fandom like this and embrace something you love that much, I think there kind of is no going back, really. Incidentally, guys, for more of Sarah on Quagmire, we are recording the season 3 episode on Quagmire this month. So you'll be getting Sarah talking in more in depth about Quagmire around October-ish time.
September 15th, we're recording.
September 15th, I think. You're recording that one.
Yeah.
Carl and Zach, I think, on that one.
It's going to be so fun. I hope it's not, I don't know. I hope I can behave myself and not squeal all over it. But
I hope you don't behave yourself and squeal like a crazy person.
It might be like 2 hours long. I hope not. Like the Skinner episode.
Yeah, it's a split into two that people will be, I think, getting soon, actually. Yeah, the two-part Skinner.
Sorry, not sorry.
Seasons one to two. Kurt North has just asked on the chat, will Quagmire be 24 hours? I wouldn't bet against it, Kurt, to be honest. I think if Sarah's on it.
My own.
Yeah. The Sarah cast. Yeah. The Sari cast. I think, it's everyone has those episodes, you know. I mean, mine is Pusher, but I think I'd loved, which is my favourite episode. And again, Pusher's coming. No. I know. Shocker. Again, I think Pusher's coming in the next few weeks, actually. I think patrons get it very soon. I think it comes out end of September for listeners, which is myself and Darren Mooney. And that nearly is 2 hours, actually. That one's like hours. So I'm as bad, definitely. But I had so much fun recording that.
There's a lot there.
Yeah, there's loads to talk about. But before then, you know, there were episodes that really grabbed me and really stuck with me, you know, and I fell in love with. Like I say, One Breath was one of them. The Erlenmeyer Flask as well, actually, because I watched that after One Breath, and there were things in that I always remember the opening, like, few minutes of the car chase and the way the car literally flies over that hill, like,
yeah,
it was like something out of Smokey and the Bandit. It was crazy, you know, just like. And then there's loads of things in that, you know, the bit, like, moments that just chill me, like with the moment that Scully finds out that the doctor she's been working with is dead and all of her family were killed in a car crash. And you just know that she's just been murdered because she found these alien DNA thing. And I'm like, oh my God, it's chilling. Like, she would literally, like, 5 minutes ago, she was talking to Scully about this medical stuff. And now she's dead and her whole family is dead. You know, it's things. And then, of course, Deep Throat's death, you know.
So
there's so many things about that episode. And that's why it's my favourite season finale, actually, still.
Yeah.
You know, so episodes like that just really struck me. And I think, I don't know what it was specifically. No, when I look back, I don't know what it was specifically about The X-Files that really, really struck such a chord with me. Because I was talking to somebody about this the other day. Excuse me. You will hear me coughing a lot through today, guys, because I'm going to be doing a lot of talking. I do have a lot of water, but anyway.
It's all good,
Johnny.
I'm going
to go through some house rules later before we go off. When I think back, I'm not a big believer in, like, certainly conspiracy theories. You know, I have my own theory, which is that, okay, when you think about things like I don't know, public services and the way they're run, or, you know, big events and the way they're run, almost always things are terribly run, aren't they? Like people can't find their ass with both hands. Now, my thinking is, surely, right, a conspiracy would be so complicated and logistically difficult that people just wouldn't be bothered. I just think people would just be hopeless at doing it. Like, I mean, when you look at the syndicate, like, and we've said before on the podcast, how useless is Krycek? You know, how often does the smoking man mess up? You know, even they're a bit useless in this giant conspiracy. So I think conspiracy theories, bar one or two maybe, I think people just give these people way too much credit to keep like the moon landing secret. How are they going to do that? You know, it's just logistically such a huge thing that relies on so many people being really good at their jobs. And I just don't think people are. So I don't believe in all this stuff, but I think maybe it was the... sounds cheesy, but I like to believe. I want to believe. And I think that was what it was about the X-Files. It just has such a broad scope of ideas and storytelling and, you know, all these different layers to it. I think, I don't know about you, but I think that's what captivated me, even beyond like a single episode or a character or an idea.
Yeah. And I think, you know, I mean, back in the 90s, we had it good. Being able to look back at it now, we had it really good.
It wasn't bad.
And I think that, you know, it was a time when having the conspiracies and that sort of thing was safe. I don't know if that's the right way to describe it, but we felt safe enough to speculate about those kinds of things, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. Like it was so good that we could fantasize and have those, you know, be like, oh, well, what if there's aliens? And yeah, I mean, we had Men in Black, we had, you know, Independence Day, all of that kind of stuff. So it was like everything here on Earth's going pretty good for us. So why not, you know, invent this crazy alien conspiracy theory, because, you know, it was like aliens were a big thing in the 90s. So I don't know if that makes sense, but to me, I felt like, you know, everything was great. And now when you come up with conspiracy theories, it's like, well, actually, it's not too far from the truth. And
we don't need to, because the president of the United States tweets them every day. So we don't even need, the X-Files doesn't even need to exist anymore, really, because like the world is a conspiracy theory.
It is.
Like,
everything.
And to be fair, season 11 reflects that in episodes like Lost Art of Forehead Sweat, you know, which basically says there's no truth because nobody cares about it anymore. It's like, well, that's true. But I think that's one of the reasons I think you're right. I think you're absolutely right in what you say. I think it's lingered because people in the 90s, especially, felt like, after the, you know, the 70s, which was obviously a big inspiration for the show, mm-hmm. and a lot of the, you know, post-Nixon kind of stuff, and then the 80s, which saw all that transformed into this, you know, economic boom, but this very conservative turnaround, very similar to what we're going through now in a way, without the economic boom, obviously. Although there is a question about that as well, whether the 80s was quite, you know, it was certainly consumerist, but whether it was economic boom is another question, because there were recessions later and things like that. So it's all the last like 30 odd years have been very up and down in terms of finances, but in terms of you know, governments and the way the world is, I think the X-Files has been able to reflect in the 90s what happened before, and now I think it's reflecting, if anything, now it's reflecting the latest series is worried about what's happening now, whereas I feel like mm-hmm. the 90s it was sort of worrying a little bit more about what had happened before, in a way.
Yeah.
And that's why it had the freedom to be a little bit more out there with all the, you know, alien godships and faceless rebels.
Right.
Whereas now Chris Carter's kind of gone away from that, and he's talking about killer viruses and, you know, creepy old men doing disturbing things, you know, like the smoking man is reeking. You know what I mean? It's a lot more current now, in a way. And how many other shows can do that? I mean,
it's true. Well, not only that, but I think one of the greatest things about the X-Files is that they pulled from real life. Like, everything is I mean, even though there's monsters and everything is so fantastic, it's still grounded in at least a little bit of truth. And I think that's why it's held up, I guess, or it's so solid and so scary sometimes because it's believable. Like even I mean, like the Fluke Man is this crazy, ridiculous monster, and you're like, oh man, that could never happen. But then you go into a porta potty and you're like, wait a second, you can't not think about it because like, well, and Donnie Faster is this terrifying serial killer, and I think about him every time I go to clean my hairbrush out for 25 years or whatever. Like I've he's like there all these stories and these monsters are so real that they get inside your head and they don't leave you.
There's a
So yeah,
real,
I
no,
mean, I
you're
think
right.
that's why, yeah.
Yeah, there's a real, I suppose this lingering sort of attachment to these, these ideas and these monsters and these, storylines that just, yeah, you recognize in real life, and yeah, you, like you say, you walk past a vent and you think of tombs. Like it's got, and that's something that not a lot of shows can really evoke, certainly so long after. I mean, when you think about it, the level of fandom that still exists for the X-Files 25 years on. And it's not just, I mean, one of the problems that certain fandoms are also having now is that a good example of this, I think, is the James Bond franchise, where you have you're not really getting many new young fans coming through. You're not really getting many youthful people loving that franchise anymore. And I'm a huge Bond fan. Like, I'm a massive fan of that. And I have been since I was a kid. But most of the fans of that are like now at least, at the very least, 25 and over. Like most, whenever you like see these kind of, or you go on these forums, or you go to events, or you see events, it's mainly sort of middle-aged men, to be honest, who are fans of that franchise. And it's great, don't get me wrong, but it's like these guys aren't going to be here forever. And you think to yourself, well, is because Bond is very tied up and it doesn't come out every few years, and there's always seems to be problems with production, like that's going on now if you read in the news. It's not always in the public consciousness in the same way that maybe it used to be. And you think to yourself, well, that's why maybe they're not getting fans come through. But that hasn't happened with the X-Files. The X-Files has been off for like 10 years at one point, almost, or like 8 years or whatever, and still people were flocking to it. Still people were finding something to love about it. Still youthful people were coming in. Men, women, children. There's got to be something about this show that, kind of like Star Trek, stays with us and lingers and keeps bringing in new people. And that's fascinating to think about what that is, because it would be different for everyone, I think.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. For me, I think it's watchability. I mean, I've seen these episodes. I've been watching the show for 25 years, and my husband always teases me. He's like, "Why are you still watching that show? It's, like, haven't you seen these episodes enough?" No, I haven't. I can always sit down and watch the X-Files one more time. I can't ever. I can't ever fathom a time when I will never want to not watch this show because every and I don't know if it's just because, I mean, as I've grown and changed as a person and had new experiences, and those experiences add to the episodes. I mean, when I was younger and I was watching Scully, I mean, in the show, she starts off at like 24, 25, and I think, and then, she gets a little bit older and then she gets cancer, like in her 30s. Like now I'm 36, and it's like, I can't even imagine going through that experience because, and then having kids changes my perspective on so many episodes too. Some of them I can't even watch anymore because either kids get hurt or, whatever. And I think that makes a difference because as I grow and change, my perception and of the show changes, and it's like a whole new episode, even though I've seen it, you know, 20, 30, 50 times, the same episode. It's like watching something different.
Yeah. You see it through new eyes, and that's, you know, all through eyes that look at it in a different way, and then, you know, maybe even reflecting how you, who you are now as a person. You know, you might be able to see things from an older perspective, or from a perspective that, you know, I mean, this is, again, quite a downer, but I don't mind saying this, you know, but somebody I know very well has just been diagnosed with cancer. And it may now be that I now watch the Scully cancer arc and see that differently, and look at it from a different point of view, and look at it from a personalised point of view much more, you know. And you will have found a lot of people who watch The X-Files will have been comforted in some way by some of that, or have been, you know, found it important to watch, or seen it from a different angle. So there's so many ways you can come at all kinds, and not just illness, but there's so many ways you can come at all kinds of things with this. And you know, even if you've seen the episode hundreds of times, which many people listening to this will have done, you know, you'll have seen The X-Files. Everyone listening to this, and this is the great thing, I know pretty much everyone listening to this knows this show so well. And the things we're talking about, they will get, they will understand, they will, you know, appreciate and recognize and feel. And it will be the same for all of you. Anyone listening to this, I know you will have watched these episodes so many times, and you will get different things from them. And that takes a show, that takes something special, I think.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, the fact that it can be written so well that you can watch it multiple times and get something different out of it each time is pretty incredible. Yeah. I mean, I don't know any other show that I feel that way about, to be honest. I mean, even my most favorite shows, Castle, West Wing, Law and Order. I mean, Law and Order is one you can have on in the background. But after a while, it's, you know, it's not, the rewatchability isn't high on that. It's just something that you don't really pay attention to. But I don't know of any other show that I could watch and engage with on that level. Mm. What, you know? And I think that's pretty special.
I think the only franchise that's ever come close in terms of that for me is Star Trek.
Yeah.
In that, you know, I'm a big Star Trek fan as well. And not to the extent of the X-Files, I would say. You know, this is obviously I do a podcast about it. This is the show that I love the most. Nothing will ever top the X-Files for me. Nothing. You know, and don't get me wrong, I've got TV shows that I adore, you know, and franchises that I adore and that I love to engage in. You know, I really do. I do try and spread myself around a lot of different things. But there, nothing will ever be quite as special to me, or as important to me, or as influential to me in all kinds of ways as The X-Files. Whether it's on air, or whether it's off air, or whether it's never coming back, or whether it's going to be rebooted, or whatever happens to it in the future, nothing will ever quite replace this show. And I think so many people feel the same way, really. And it's amazing, because it keeps the show going. It gets us to the point where 25 years later, we're doing a live podcast about it. We've got people still keen to talk about it. We've just had a new series, you know, that new season that if I was a betting man, I would suspect won't be the last. And I really don't. And that, you know, in whatever form, and that's wonderful. That's why we're here. And that's why it's worth celebrating 25 pretty amazing years. I feel enriched for having it in my life.
Absolutely. I mean, it's led to friendships for me. I mean, you guys are like my family now, my ex-cast family. And
well, we joke, we're like brother from another mother, sister from another sister, all this kind of thing, don't we? We say this because we've got the same brain, you and I. We're just separated by a continent. We've got the same brain.
I know. I hate that we don't have apparition or something, that we can't just hang out all the time. Yeah. But you know, it'd be great. But I mean, really. And I went down, I don't know, last year, to meet Mitch Pledgey at a convention here. And I was just looking around at all these people who were coming to all these different, I mean, it wasn't just for the X-Files. There were lots of different shows there. And I was like, isn't it just amazing that someone could create something that all these people identify with and will come and, you know, be fans about? And like, really, Chris Carter, I mean, he's not just created a TV show, he's created friendships. And I mean, my kids wouldn't be here if not for the X-Files.
Yeah, well, there you go.
To be honest, yeah. I mean, like, that's how I remember when I first met my husband, we would watch the X-Files together, and that's how we bonded and got to know each other. And, you know, so there's just, like, so many important things. It's not only a TV show, but it's so much more than that. And I guess we have to say thank you, Chris Carter, because, like, if definitely not for him and amazing brain, it's like, we wouldn't know each other, Tony.
No, exactly. Exactly. All the people who are on today, I would, bar one or two people, I would never have met. and this is wonderful. You know, it's one of the great things. I would never have had, at my wedding a few weeks ago, we decided that our table names would be based on famous partnerships in TV, movies, things like this. So we had Kirk and Spock, we had Han and Leia, we had Holmes and Watson. And my table, obviously, was Mulder and Scully.
Absolutely. You know,
my top table was Mulder and Scully. I like, you know, I'm genuinely, if my wife and I have children, I want the middle name, if we have a boy, I want it to be Fox. Genuinely, right? If we ever have a dog, like, or a cat, well, it'd be a dog because we're not a big fan of cats, I want to call it Mulder or Scully.
Yeah,
I do. I've already said, and my wife's a bit more like, well, Scully's a bit of a better name.
I had Scully on the list for my daughter.
Yeah.
I really.
Dana. But Dana, my husband, might be a middle name, actually.
Yeah.
Of a daughter. You know,
yeah. So, you know, but yeah.
Sorry, Carla's just put in the chat, get a Norwegian elkhound and name it Heinrich. Excellent. It's got me done. Great memories.
Yeah.
But today we're gonna think about the future, because before you head off, Sarah, in a second, and we do the changeover for hour two, you'll be back later. You'll be back much later in the 24 hours of the XCast live to come back on. But I'm going to quickly go through the plan, basically, for the day in what we're going to have. So before we have a brief moment of a break. So we're going to have, bear with me, because I'm getting the whole list up, which has been a logistical ache in my brain that we got there. So yeah, now at 10, we've got Carl Sweeney coming on for the next 2 hours to talk about season two. He'll be joined at 11 o'clock BST by Marlene Stemmy to talk about season two. Then I'm going to be tested by patrons and guests with the next quiz at midday by Kurt North and Darren Mooney. Not terrified at all what they've got planned. I've not seen any of it, but we'll see.
We'll get ready.
Kurt will stay at 1 p.m. To talk about season three with Cortland Waters-Bartley in her first ever podcast appearance. So that's going to be really cool for Cortland. And Matt Latham, who is joining me then, he's coming to my house. Matt Latham is coming to my house from 1 p.m. till 5 p.m. to basically help me, feed me, get me tea as well. Just be my monkey for the next few hours. He'll be here for those hours. 2 o'clock, Darren Mooney will be on to talk season four and five. 3 o'clock, Andrew Blaker will join myself and Latham to talk about the books and comics of the X-Files. At 4 p.m, myself and Latham will be joined by Paige Schechter and Naomi Miller to talk about Fight the Future in season six. And then we have the guest hours. Then we have 5 o'clock, we've got Kristen Cloak Morgan and Glenn Morgan.
Glenn Morgan, that's noon Eastern time, if you don't know.
Thank you. And that's so exciting.
I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah, because me too. Because I've spoken to Kristen before and she's wonderful. She's a lovely person. And I'm sure Glenn's great as well, but it's going to be such a thrill to speak to Glenn Morgan. I don't think he really does many podcasts, so we're quite honoured to have him on. So they'll be joining us. We may have Frank Spotnitz on the same hour at some point, but we will see. It's not 100% confirmed. He's a very busy man, but we'll see about that. 6 p.m. even, we've got Benjamin Van Allen, writer of Familiar, in season 11, talking about writing for the X-Files and TV, which is really great. He's a great guy. Then at 7 p.m. we have, to talk about acting on the X-Files, two guest stars. We've got Scott Bellis, who played Max Fennig, and Karen Connival, who played, obviously, Mrs. Peacock.
And she's amazing. I'm hungry. I still say that all the time. Every time I get I'm hungry.
And she is, well, everyone involved is just delightful. Karen has been so supportive of this, so it's going to be lovely to speak to her. But so that's the some of the guest hours. Then at 8 p.m. we've got Darren Mooney back on with Carl Sweeney to talk about season 7 and 8, and then Carl will be back at 9 p.m. halfway through to talk to me about the pilot episode of the X-Files and the beginnings of the show. That's where I'll leave it for now. Instead of going through the set, that's part one. That's half of the day. So we'll talk about the next half later. We'll go through what we're going to do after that. But that's what's coming up over the next 12 hours.
How is this almost over? I'm not ready to leave.
I know. Well, you can stay if you want. It's up to you. You actually can. If you want to stay, Sarah, you can stay. It's absolutely fine.
I'm good until my kids get up, honestly.
All right. You stay. Okay. We're going to have a break for a couple of minutes and bring Carl in. Stay tuned, guys, for hour two of the X-Cast Live.